Way at the back. Chapter one. And there's a difference between committing an act and living a life. You can tell a lie, that doesn't make you a liar. But if you continue to tell lies, then you're a liar. So there's a difference between the indicative, present active indicative, which means I am continually telling lies, and just simply an aorist, which says I told a lie. So those differences are critical when it comes to sin. And so in the first chapter of the book of 1 John, we read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." So, firsthand experience, that's the best testimony. Firsthand experience. I heard it, I saw it, I was there, I was present. And if there's two, it's established. If there's just one, it's not established if it's a crime. So you can't have any better witness than that. For the life was manifested, that word of life that he was talking about, Jesus, was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, not something known here, not something temporal, not something that flesh and blood can produce, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So if Father has a secret in his heart, you don't know it until he speaks it or acts it or manifests it, makes it known in some way. That's called revelation. So God the Father, before the foundation of the earth, loved us, but we don't know that by nature. You don't know that he loves you by nature unless he reveals it with words, either spoken or written. If he doesn't either speak or write, you don't know that. You don't know if he likes you or doesn't like you. The beautiful little fawn in the forest and being taken care of by its mom with little flowers all around tells me God is good. But that same forest and that same situation, when lightning strikes and a fire breaks loose, then it would tell me God doesn't like me. So I can't tell from nature itself or from my own behavior whether I'm bad or good, whether God likes me or not. I don't know. So unless he reveals his heart, you don't know what another person is thinking or feeling or wanting or planning. They could smile at you and actually be planning your death, planning to injure you and do you harm. Or they could be harming you, but actually being intending to do well. You cannot tell until someone says, "This is what I meant. This is what." And so they have to manifest it. So God has manifested his love for us in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. That's even better than Moses. That's better than Abraham. That's better than the fawn. That's better than a cloud. So the best way to find out what someone is like is if they personally reveal themselves. You can be with people for years and not know them. You can live with somebody and be husband and wife, intimate and close, and not know them. It's possible because we don't all reveal ourselves. We can say words that deceive. We can perform acts that fool someone else. We can even fool ourselves. So how do we know what someone is thinking or feeling or wanting or planning unless they reveal it? So God is manifested in Jesus Christ. Now, once you see Jesus Christ, you realize this is his Son. Jesus even said to them once when they said, "Well, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied." He said, "No, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Anything you saw in me, if you saw kindness in me, that's the Father. If you saw me killing people, that would be the Father, but you've never seen that. What you've seen in me is always everything that I do, it's merciful. Everything I do, even the authority that I use, it's all for you. It's all for your good. It's all on your side. Well, that tells us what the Father's like. And that agrees with the Old Testament that says his thoughts toward us are always thoughts of peace. Now, you can't tell that because he says certain words in the Old Testament that might make you think he's mad or angry or an enemy. And he is. But he's an enemy to bad behavior, but not to you. He is never an enemy to Pharaoh or to Esau or to anyone, even though he says, I hated Esau. Doesn't mean that. What he means is, I hated what he did. I hated the fact that he didn't trust me. But he didn't mean, oh, I don't love Esau. Now, I know the words say that. So you'd have to think about what I said to see whether it be true or not. And the case goes against me on the surface. But if you'll look deeply into the heart of God, you'll see other scriptures that agree with me. God desires not the death of any sinner. That means that even though Esau was hated by God, quote, quote, doesn't mean he was really hated by God. What it means is that when he reached out to Esau, Esau refused him. And so what hurt God there was that Esau wouldn't take his love. It isn't that he wouldn't have forgiven him. Had he repented, had he truly repented, had he accepted the God of Jacob, had he truly believed on the Lord and repented of his sin, he would have loved him. He would have taken him. So it's a form of language. But in any event, what you see in Jesus is the Father. Whatever you see in Jesus, he has revealed him perfectly. In times past, Hebrews says, many have spoken for God, prophets and all kinds of voices and authorities, but in these last days through his Son. The Son knows him better than the servant. Moses reveals the law of God, but Jesus reveals the gospel. Moses reveals something of God, but only the backside. The law is like the backside of the glory of God. But the face of God himself can only be seen in the face of Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen him. So now, what face do we show of God? What kind of manifestation do we reveal of God? Father. When people see us, they see our anger, they think God is angry. They see our mercy, they think God is merciful. They see 1 minute anger and 1 minute mercy, they think God is crazy. Because they can't tell. Well, no, I thought you were Christian. Well, I was on Thursday. But today I'm mad. Okay, so that is not a very good reflection, and you need to have a little bell on you that ding, 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 ding says, warning, I'm not always in my right mind. You know, so sometimes we Christians forget who we are. Sometimes we behave Christianly and sometimes we don't. So you can't always tell from a Christian what God is like. Their heart is one thing, their soul is another thing, and their body is another thing. And a lot of times the body doesn't show what's in the heart, but it shows what's in the soul. But sometimes the body shows what's in the heart. So which is it? Now, I want to illustrate this because I'm going to teach you something tonight about God the Father, and about the light that is in him, which ought to be in us, but isn't always. That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that which we have seen, plural, and heard, declare we, plural, unto you also, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. Now, if Jesus was like the Jehovah's Witnesses say, then you would be having fellowship with an inferior and a superior. But Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. Therefore, you're not having fellowship kind of lopsidedly with the Father and with the Son. You know, you're having fellowship with the Father and the Son equal. And you could add the Holy Spirit, which they really bothers Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I hope you don't mind. I hope you're not thinking he's anything more than a force. Yes, he is Almighty God. We worship him. And you dishonor him. That's the way I talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. And you dishonor the Father because you do not honor the Son and you do not receive His Spirit. Therefore, you have mocked Him. Therefore, you are headed for hell. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses usually leave the house at that moment. Well, we've got to go on to our next meeting. Because for them, they don't worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They think that's the Trinity. And since that's not in the Bible, they get all upset. That which we have heard and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Father and Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him, and now declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I want to illustrate that now. So, I said that you have three parts to you, spirit, soul, and body. And so these three parts, let's call this one the spirit. This is the spirit where you know God in the spirit. And everything here should be light. Everything here should be bright light. And then you have your soul. And then you have your body. Now, the body is interesting, body, and the soul is where the battle lies. So is the spirit going to work directly on the body, or is it going to work through the soul in its natural state, or is the soul going to work directly on the body? Now, if the soul works on the body, I'll call this C1. If the spirit works on the body, I'll call that C2, if the soul is dead. So I'll call this a dead soul. Die to yourself. So dying to myself, a dead soul, okay? Then, if my soul is dead, then only the Lord who lives within me, who is light, would produce works of light, works that were wrought in God, works wrought in God, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit. You notice all three, equal, in the Spirit, okay, in the Holy Spirit. So, works that are wrought in God, works that are wrought in Christ, works that are wrought in the Holy Spirit, none of those would be your works because you're dead. So if your spirit were alive in Christ Jesus because you were born again, born of God, then God would not work through the soul, the old soul, but would work through a dead soul. So it's important that your soul die in order that the works might not be sinful and hypocritical and vain. Hypocritical, there's a little C there. Hypocritical and vain. These are the works of the flesh. These are the works of the spirit. So the works on the top vary. You might there's a little scale here going up or going down. The more that you're dead here, the more that you're moving C1 smaller and C2 expanding. But the more that you're not building yourself up in the Holy Spirit, not building yourself up in God, not having fellowship with God, not being in the light, the more then that the works come from here and they're soulish. They're what I would call religion. It would be religious works. And religion works are hypocritical or hypocrisy or legalistic works. Hypocritical, legalistic, religious. Same as moral. Legalistic has the word law in it, legal. Legalistic means not from the heart, not born from the heart. So what you want is you want your works to come out of your heart, not out of your soul. So if I can expand if I can kill my soul so that only my spirit or my heart is dominating my soul, so that I have no life of my own except for his life, then I'll produce C2. But if I don't feed my spirit, and if I'm not alive in God, even though positionally I am, if I'm not growing continually in that, then my works are going to come out sinful and wicked, and my spiritual works will be diminished. Okay? So that's clear. So you want A, I didn't make A, B, and C. You want A to have a direct impact through a dead B. Otherwise, B will stay alive and produce C1 rather than C2. So you want this A to dominate B so that it'll produce C2. Otherwise, what you'll get is you'll have an A, you'll be born again, but because your soul isn't dead, you'll just produce C1, which are legalistic works not wrought in God. You will look like you're a Christian, talk like you're a Christian, but you actually won't be one. And so you won't continue in joy, you won't continue in power, you won't continue to produce. Now, this is the normal Christian in our day, is a Christian who's an A, born again, but B, he's not discipled, he's not trained, he's not taught, he's soulish. And so even though he has a new heart, you can't combine the new heart with a soul, with a self. The self has to be dead. So the first work the new heart's going to do is not produce a work, but produce death to the soul. So that your heart and your soul become one, that is, your heart becomes alive so that your soul becomes dead. Justification leads to sanctification. Unfortunately, this is not normal. Unfortunately, in our day, what we have is people that are born again, A, but still very much alive in the soul, because churches are more religious than they are spiritual. Churches are leaving people in their sins, and therefore it's producing a lot of C1 and very little C2. So legalistic religion looks like God, but it actually is sin. And the fact that we can make it look legalistic doesn't help a thing. I could actually make it C1, 2, and 3 on the end to show that there's wicked sin and then it's kind of moral legalistic sin and then crucified. So the first one would be expressed. I'll do that. I'll show you how that actually would work, because this will illustrate it even better. Let's produce it this way. And I'll show you that you can actually produce all kinds of things here. So C1, C2, and C3. All right. Now, these works are wrought in God. These are just hypocritical works and therefore vain. These are wicked, open, sinful. Openly sinful. Obviously wicked. Openly sinful. But there's no difference in the eyes of God between C1 and C2. We make a big difference between them. We say, that person killed somebody and that person went to church. But God doesn't divide it that way. He says, that person went to church what was a hypocrite, and that person went to church truly born of the Spirit. So God divides it totally different. We divide it externally. Well, he went to church though, so he's okay. So in God's mind, C1 and C2 are the same. And that's why I only had two categories. But in our mind, C2 is a great category, a wondrous category. In fact, so big, if you build that up, you won't even need a C3. You won't need any works wrought in God, because man can do all of it himself, because he is his own God. Does that make sense? So now, the problem in the church today is we have too much legalism. That is, we don't have dead people. And that's because pastors preach Jesus, but they don't preach to get rid of all the sin out of your life. They preach that Jesus died for you, but they don't preach that you need to die. So you can tell a church like that wouldn't be too big. A church that's going to teach that is going to have a tough time becoming a mega church. We have a little bit of problem on that. Because people are not eager to die. They don't mind Jesus dying, they just don't want to die themselves. We don't like living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. We don't like that. What we like to do is sing about that. We just don't like to do it. Because living for Jesus means I don't get to live for me. Living for Jim. You know, that's what we like. So that's called the flesh. The flesh likes to live for itself, and it doesn't like to live for others, and certainly not for God. But nevertheless, God will not accept any living for yourself. He wants only living for Him. In other words, God wants to be glorified. God wants to have no life for you and only your life for Him. So there you have it. So that's what He calls fruit. That's what He calls living for the Lord. And most people are depressed over that thought, but I'm excited over that thought. I think it's great that God's whole plan and purpose is to get rid of me and to only have Himself living through me. That's why He created me. He never created me to express myself. So number one is expression. Nor did He create me to suppress myself. Number two is suppression. Number three is crucifixion. So whether it's expression, suppression, or crucifixion makes a huge difference. Both expression of sin and suppression of sin are equal to God. Only crucifixion is acceptable. So it isn't so much what you think, it's what God says. And what He says is that He wants all sin crucified. He hates sin. He just absolutely hates it. So God's holiness destroys sin in any form, C1 or C2. But His mercy will forgive a C2, I'm sorry, will forgive a C1, but not a C2. I don't know if you heard what I just said. His mercy, His holiness, destroys both C1 and C2. But a spiritual man can live with C1. In other words, sin. If you're a Christian, you're still sinning. Anybody here is a Christian? Anybody here a Christian? Raise your hand. You're still sinning. But he can live with a C1 as long as you're expressing. But if it's legalistic, there's no mercy for legalism. There's no mercy, there's no payment, there's no cross for legalism. Legalism will have to repent first and go back to being a sinner before it can be saved, because He only saves sinners. He doesn't save hypocrites. Now, I haven't confused you, but it's confusing because I said something that you have to think about for a little while, is that God's holiness condemns C1 and C2, but He's more angry at lukewarm C2s than He is at cold C1s. So here's how I'd put it. The holiness of God, God is holy. The mercy of God, God is merciful. And the power of God, God is almighty, He's powerful, all do different things for us. And so as we're having fellowship with God in our hearts, the holiness of God condemns B as well as C1 and C2 sins, okay? But the mercy is for anybody that repents of a C1, but C2s cannot become Christian. A C2 has to admit that it's always been a C1, and then it can become a Christian. So only C1s can repent. So holiness gets C1s to repent and kills off Bs, ending, therefore, C2s. Now, the power then only flows to C3s because B is dead. So the holiness kills off the B. The mercy tells the sinner, C1, that there's hope for you if you believe in Jesus. C1 repents, becomes an A, killing the B. Therefore, you get the C3. I know that doesn't make any sense on the tape at all. But nevertheless, it makes a lot of sense to you who are here and are brilliant, smart, able to keep all these numbers and letters together. All right. Don't always ask for everything to be so simple. Now, if I were teaching as Christ did, I would just use an illustration or a parable, and then you would understand it perfectly. but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to teach you C1, 2, and 3. A, B, and C. And then you can work it out yourself later. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. All right? So A knows that God is light. Light is the same as holiness. But light is also the same as mercy. But light is also the same as power. All God is light, all three. Holy, merciful, powerful. If we say then we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, C1 and C2, then we lie. If we say we have fellowship with God, A, that we've been begotten, born of God, and then we're an A. But then we walk in darkness, we have fellowship, A, but we walk in darkness, then obviously B is the problem. If I'm walking in the darkness of either C1 or C2, the problem is B. Now there's no problem if I am born again, fellowshipping in the light, and I commit a sin, but I cannot stay in the sin because I'm born again. So if there were no B in the picture, you would immediately repent of C1 and go back to crucifixion of the flesh and you produce a C3. A C1 would immediately become a C3. Another way of saying it is this. Sinning is not God's problem. It's pretending that you didn't. B. God isn't bothered that people sin. That is easy to overcome. Anyone that's born again of the Spirit will not stay in sin unless he has a B to confuse things. That's the problem, is that religion is the problem. People legalistically being neither hot nor cold, being lukewarm, that is the problem of the churches today. It's always been the problem. It still is the problem. And we will end that problem tonight. That problem will be over tonight after 2,000 years. But thanks be unto God, this is a great group right here. So I know it's going to be solved tonight. I'm confident. All right. Here's what the Bible says. If we say that we have fellowship with him, A, and yet we walk, C, in darkness, we lie. God's calling that a lie. So B is a lie. B is a lie. There's where the lie comes from, B. You say you have fellowship with God, then you should be producing C3. Why is it that you're producing C1 and 2? It's because you don't have fellowship with him. Now, however, you could have fellowship with him and there'd be mercy for you if you would repent. If you knew, if there was no B in the picture, there would be no C2 in the picture, then, of course, you'd be able to repent. But C2 will never repent and become a C1. I'll tell you, if you're a C2, you do not want to admit that you're a C1, an open, rotten, no good sinner. Anybody that's an open, rotten, no good C1 sinner, they can't be born again and stay that way. They cannot. Anybody who's born of God, I'm just telling you, anyone who's born of God, that's how you can find out if you're born of God, because the minute you do a sin, the Holy Spirit's going to be right there and convict you, and immediately you're going to repent of that sin and it's going to be gone. However, if you have a lot of B still alive in you, and God hasn't used his holiness to destroy B first, hasn't done the work within you first, hasn't disciplined you, discipled you, chastened you, afflicted you, punished you, beaten you to a pulp, then of course you'll produce confusion. That's where the church is today. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's an A. That's an A producing a C3. If we walk in the light, C3, as he is in the light, A, then what? Then what? Here's what it says. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In order to have fellowship with one with another, you'd have to be dead to yourself. There's no way you can live with other Christians. There's no way you can live with anybody else if you're still alive to yourself. If you're alive to yourself, you're going to be a sinner. And if you're alive to yourself and you're a sinner, but you pretend like you're not a sinner, you're in big trouble. It's okay to be a sinner, but it's not okay to stay a sinner. You can commit an act, you can tell a lie, but you can't stay a liar, and you can't not continue. You cannot be someone that continues in that sin and do not allow the Holy Spirit to convict you unless you're a B. A B is the confusion. When you're born of God, A, you will produce C3 unless there's a problem that you still have B alive. So the next thing you do after you're born again is you got to get C dead, B dead. And if you do, then C will be all right. And even if you produce a C1, that is an open sin, it's forgivable. But if it's a C2, it's not forgivable because no C2 would ever ask for forgiveness. Because no C2 believes he needs forgiveness because he thinks he's a C3. A legalistic Christian actually believes he's a Christian. Not because of his heart, but because of his walk. That's the problem. You cannot convict such a person. They don't want to hear the Holy Spirit because if you tell them they've sinned, they say, I didn't. And that's the problem. If you say, well, you know, what you did was not in the Bible. It is too. They'll just argue with you because they don't believe they sin. And they're not readily teachable at all. They don't even want to hear that they've done anything wrong. They want to defend themselves and say, I know what I did is right. Shaving my head and wearing a monk's robe, that's a good work. It's not a good work. But they believe it is. You know, witnessing on Thursday night, that's a good work, even though I do it legalistically and hypocritically. It's not a good work. And so you cannot talk to religious people. Once they have their theology in place, once they are full of B theology, which keeps them alive, they will defend themselves to the hilt. They'll say they're defending God, but they're just defending their own denomination, their own traditions, their own ideas. Have you ever run into this? Yes. Have you ever been one of these? Yes. So I'll tell you what, to get rid of this is very, 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 very difficult. It would take the Holy Spirit to do it. In order to be able to kill you before you get to the walk, in other words, get a B dead before you get to a C. Because if you don't get the B dead, you're only going to produce C2. You'll produce C1. Every once in a while, you'll squeak out a C3, but basically, you'll be a C2. And most Christians in our day are Christian A, but they're actually pagans C2. And then every C2 is only a release. I'm sorry. You know what happens when you're a legalistic Christian? You're going to produce a lot of C1 sin, but no one is going to see it because you're going to hide it. But you'll produce it as a release and a relief from C2. In other words, you're going to eat ice cream when no one is looking. So someone say, well, you sin too. You weigh 300 pounds. And they'll go, they won't accept that. They won't accept that because they go, well, I'm the righteous of Christ or something. They have some kind of theology. They always have an answer. C2 people can answer and talk forever because they have no reality. They're not led by the Spirit. They're not ever moved by the Spirit. They're just moved by their own flesh. And they'll defend themselves and attack you all day long. They're critical people. They're judgmental people. They're hateful people. And they hate themselves before they hate you. It's a good teaching. But it's difficult to get a hold of this and to lay it out clearly that God never intended that. He wanted you to be an A, kill B, so that only C3 would come forth and any C1s that you have, you'd immediately repent of them and move on. It's not wrong to commit any sin in the book. It is wrong to keep it. It's not wrong to eat the apple. It's wrong to put the fig leaves on. It's not wrong to eat the apple. See, God's problem wasn't, Adam and Eve, did you sin? His problem wasn't whether they did or not. It's that they lied and said, no, we didn't. Well, the woman thou gavest me. Well, the snake did. You know, they're excusing themselves and accusing God and accusing one another instead of just saying like King David did, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. That is what God is looking for. It isn't the sin that's bothering him. It's the fact that you won't confess the sin. Now, let's look carefully here. 7. If we walk in the light, that's a C3, as he is in the light, that's an A, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. So the minute that you're fellowshipping in the church, if you have any B in you, you'll have C2 fruit, and you're not going to have a real church. You're going to have a fake church. That's the biggest churches are built out of B's who are producing C2 behavior. But they commit adultery on the side. They surf the internet when you're not looking. They're greedy. They're egotistic. They're everything in the book. They got a lot of C1, but they hide it. They cover over their apple eating with their fig leaves. And so when you're inside one of those fellowships, there's a lot of sin going on. I know because our church is loaded with people that came from those churches. We get the debris and the fall off of those braggadocious churches who actually are full of sin, and we get the ones that did wrong. or whatever, but couldn't stand it after a while because they love Jesus. If you really love Jesus, you can't stay in a B church. You can't stay in a C2 producing church. You are looking for C3. You're looking for, well, where's the Holy Spirit? Where's God? Where is it deeds wrought in God? Where am I seeing people that are led by the Holy Spirit and not by the pastor or not by the denomination or not by some human? Where's the real church on earth? And a lot of people just despair of it. Say, well, I guess there isn't one. I guess I'm not a Christian because, look, I'm still sinning. The reason that people that are C2s sin and do a C1 is to relieve themselves. If they didn't do C1, they wouldn't even be able to breathe. You cannot keep up this lying, hypocritical, phony, fake Christianity for long. Sooner or later, the anger is going to come out, the bitterness is going to come out, the sin is going to come out. As I said, you might not yell at somebody, but you might eat a lot. It comes out one way or another. You might not eat a lot, but you get sick and die. I mean, you know, something's going to show because there's no way you can hide C2, which is really just C1. C2 is nothing but C1. It's just kind of a fake fig leaf pretending C1 that wants to look like it's godly when it's really just sinful. How many have met Christians who look so Christian but actually know they're pagan, but you can't catch them because they can hide it so well? When you have fig leaves on, God couldn't tell. Are you guys naked or not? You know, God couldn't tell. God was having trouble. You look like you're naked, but I guess you got some fig leaves on, so I can't tell. But actually, God sees through fig leaves. I don't know. They didn't realize that. And so God knew they were naked. But God is able, through the Holy Spirit, actually to see through a C2. He can spot a bee. He can smell a bee's flesh just like that. Whenever the work comes forth to him, if it isn't a C3, he can smell it right away. Ooh, that is sinful. No, sir, this is our best. Remember, someone said this, Lord, Lord, we did mighty works in your name. We cast out devils. We won 3,000 people one night. You remember? We got even pictures of it. Show them the pictures. You know, and you know, God is just going to say, depart from me, you evildoers. I hated you. I've always hated that. Why? Because you produced no C3. That wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. You said, we did that. If you did it, then it wasn't me. And I don't accept anything that I don't do. God will never accept your works. He only wants his. So C1 doesn't bother him because that's just your kind of works. But as long as you repent of it. But you won't repent of it if you're defending C2. No, we did your work. You're a liar. And God calls such people liars. They're hypocrites. Jesus said, oh, you Pharisees, you're hypocrites. You teach all these fancy words, but you don't do one thing. You don't even lift a finger for the kingdom of God. Because none of your works are wrought in God, because you're not dead, you're alive. You are still men, mere men. You have the name of being alive, but you are dead. That's the problem in the church today. So you can see why everything is confused today in the church, but there's no need to be confused. Here it is in the Word of God. Listen to this now, verse 8. But if we say that we have no sin, if somebody says, oh, I'm going to be an A with only C3 works, I don't think so. You're going to have, it's a normal Christian who has a lot of C1 still in his life. It's a normal Christian. If you don't get C1 every day of your life, if you don't find a sin every day of your life, you're not a Christian. If you say, well, I don't have any sin, you're definitely a C2 liar. Now, I'm going to show you that this is what it says in the Bible. I just made it C, B, and A and all this. But the truth is, I'm just quoting the scripture here. Now, listen. If we say that we have no sin, that doesn't mean you don't have any. You just say you don't have any. How many times have you been in an argument with somebody and you said, well, I think you're doing wrong. I am not. You know, and just you say you're not doesn't mean you're not. Well, I don't think I sinned. I think I got a divorce because I deserved it, needed it. God told me it was okay. That's cute. That's just saying. You're just saying that. Well, I had my reasons. Okay. I feel the Holy Spirit said it was okay. It's not okay. It's evil. It's a sin. It's wrong. It's bad. It's forgivable. Why do you want to hide on to it? Hang on to it. God says in Malachi, I hate it. I hate divorce. I hate it. But don't worry about the door. All right. If we say we have no sin. So don't say you have no sin. You're a Christian. One of the things that Christians should do is say, I have sin. Because the Holy Spirit's going to say, that's okay. You can just say you're sorry and it's over. But as long as you hang on to it and you're pretending like, well, it's okay, God said I could do it and so on, you're just never going to be free then. You're not going to be free. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, you're not an A. You are not an A. Because if you're an A, the Holy Spirit is going to keep convicting you until you confess that sin and say, you know what? I did wrong. I did wrong. I did wrong. They don't need to answer the door. Don't let anybody in. Is it Peter? Let him in. I did a C1. But God forgive me. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 9. Key verse. 9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, this is what God loves. If we confess our sins, plural, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Listen carefully now. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know how that works? Gets rid of B. What he's saying there is, I'll forgive you mercy, and then I'll cleanse you. I'll purify you. I'll sanctify you. Did you see what I just said? I'll forgive you, that's justification, but I'll also sanctify you. I'll forgive you, and then I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'll not only forgive the sin you just did, but then I'll cleanse you so that you don't have it anymore. How? Kill B. Then there'll be no C2. Isn't that beautiful? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's beautiful. What a beautiful picture. Now I see how the holiness of God kills B to get rid of C2, so that all I'll have is a C1, which can repent, which immediately then I can be filled with the Spirit, and I can produce a C3. Through the power of God, and by the mercy of God, because of the holiness of God. The holiness killed B so that there was no C2. And the mercy forgave the C1, and immediately the C3 came forward because of the power of God. Did you all follow that? Did you all follow that? I know it's complex, but come on, do some hard work. Don't ask me to produce it better or something. I'm just sharing what the Holy Spirit told me to share with you. And the mechanism is mine. So you can forgive me for that. But get it anyway. Work hard. Say, well, Pastor Jim is a little, he didn't know how to say it. Okay. All right. I didn't know how to say it, but I'm saying it. So learn it. Do some hard work. Just don't criticize. Get it. It's in the Bible. I'm reading you the Bible. The Bible's right, even if my illustration isn't perfect. I just put that illustration up. I'm not saying that Jesus would have done that. I know he wouldn't have done it. He would have done some grain or some corn or some birds. And if you give me a little time, I'll think of some grain and some corn and some bird parables. But for right now, just take this. What I'm trying to say is the church is too silly these days. It's trying to be too spiritual. Don't worry about it. It doesn't always have to be so perfect and spiritual. We can confess sins. We can confess sins. Don't wait around till you're perfect. You may never get it done. Just go ahead and you work it out. You do some work. What I'm telling you is the truth. But you do the work to figure it out. Is it hard? Well, so what? So it's hard. I don't care that someone gives it to me perfectly. Just give it to me. I'll work it out with Jesus. If we confess our sins, if we do, if you're a Christian and he convicts you, you will. Well, what are your sins? C1 and C2. But the worst one is C2, not C1. The worst one is C2, not C1. But he's not wanting to forgive the C2 sin. Why? Because C2 is a C1. He doesn't forgive C2s. There's no mercy for a C2. Why? Because it's a lie. It's not even a real thing. What is a C2? It's just a C1 pretending. It's a masquerade. It's a mask on top of somebody. A C2 is not a reality. It's hypocrisy. It's vanity. It's nothing. There's nothing there. There are no moral people. There are no legalistic people. There's only sinners pretending. That's why Jesus called the Pharisees, you wicked ones. Why? because they're not really wonderful people, moral people, religious people, nice people. You look like, your lips say, but deep in your heart, you are evil, treacherous, a brood of vipers. Now, that's how to make a C2 into a C1 and get the C2 mad at you. Because the C2s are the only ones that will crucify you, never a C1. C1s do no crucifying and persecuting of Christians. It's always C2s. C2s are the only ones that are substituting a B for an A. They're trying to keep B alive so that A, which will never mix with B. The only mixture for A and B is that A kills B. When you're born again, the next thing to do is die to yourself. When Jesus died for you, the next thing to do is now you die for him. Amen. But you're not dying physically. You're not dying spiritually. You're just dying soulishly. You're just letting yourself saying, God, you know what the problem is? It's not me committing a sin, telling a lie. It's that I am full of it. I'm full of sins. I continue them all the time. I'm full of self-pity. I'm so full of fear. I'm full of anger. I'm full of jealousy. I'm full of all kinds of things. I don't want that anymore. Could you please give me power, not only to forgive, but power to overcome the sin that's in my life? Ah, easy. Spend enough time beholding him and you'll be changed. Spend enough time beholding the Lord. That's why I'm trying to build you up in the Spirit. I'm not trying to attack your soul, but I'm going to attack your soul indirectly. Because as I lift up Jesus, what's going to happen is your soul will die. The more you see his beauty, the more your ugliness will appear. The more you see his strength, the more your weakness will be obvious. The more you see his glory and his majesty, you won't have any. So it's not so difficult, it's just that people have a real trouble giving up their dung. That's my gold. I'm going to keep it. It's dung.
It's gold.
Dung. Give it to me.
That's all I have.
So people are keeping their religion and throwing away Jesus, rather than keeping Jesus, throwing away religion. You don't have anything. Everything you have is dung. That's why Paul says, you know, I count all my works as dung. This is just dung. It's just dung. That's all it is. It has no value at all. I thought it was valuable. I was a religious nut. I was a fervent Jewish Pharisaical person. But I now count that as dung, nothing, zero, evil, nasty. I now have taken what he has given me. I want the works of Jesus alone. What he sows, let me reap, not what I sowed. Whatever I sow, I'll also reap. So let him do all the sowing and me do all the reaping. Because the reason he sowed is so you could reap. He never wanted you to sow and reap because you don't know how to sow and reap. I don't like that teaching that the faith teachers have about sowing and reaping and spreading all their seeds and all this. I like the idea that Jesus does the sowing and we do the reaping. Because the only reason he sowed anything was for you. Didn't sow it for himself. He didn't sow it so he'd eat something. He sowed it so you'd have everything. He wants his righteousness to be yours. He doesn't want you to have your own. Stop establishing your own righteousness, B. That'll only produce C2. No, take his righteousness, C3 will come forth. You take his righteousness, praise the Lord. That is your freedom, that's your liberty. Now, if we say we have no sin, if somebody says, well, I don't have any sin, you do, you're a liar. You're just calling God a liar, and you're deceived. If anybody says, if you're I'm a Christian, I'm the righteous of Christ, some will say. I'm the righteous of Christ. Well, I know in your heart, A, but not in your soul, B. You're a wicked devil, B. I live with you. I know. I live with myself. I know. You know, there's no way Christians are not nicer people. Have you ever been with any? All you got to do is get into a close, intimate situation. Of course, you get in a big church, it's so superficial, you can't tell. It takes you weeks and months. But if you get into a small church like this, you can tell right away. It's so hard to hide. You just can't hide it. The sin just comes out. So why don't we just confess it? I've been a bitter, angry person. I've been a lecherous person. I've been a glutton my whole life. You know, why not admit that? Just people have a reluctance to say that out in public. I don't know why. I've always had gluttony as my thing, you know, and I've always been a tattletale, you know, I've always been an exaggerator. About a billion times I've done it. And so, I have every sin in the book. I don't, there's a few that I don't think I practice, but I'm sure I have every sin in the book, and given enough time and enough circumstance, I would do them. It's just they haven't all caught up with me yet, but I've accomplished a few. Now, look, the thing is, why pretend? If you say you have no sin, you're a liar, and you make God a liar, and you're deceived. You make God a liar, because God says you do have sin. No, I'm the righteous of Christ, A. Yes, but you're not the righteous of Christ, B. And your walk, C, is not Christ. It's sometimes Christ, sometimes phony, and sometimes wicked as a snake. Right? So it says, be wise as a serpent, but it doesn't say, be a serpent. But, a lot of Christians are just, they're serpents. You get with a really nice Christian, it's going to be awful. Christians hide stuff. They bury stuff, especially the C2 type Christians. If we confess our sins, however, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins, thank God, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, if we say that we've not sinned, if you say that, if you say, well, I haven't sinned, I'm a Christian. Now, we're not talking now who you are, we're talking about what you're doing. We're talking about what your soul is like. If we say we have not sinned, well, we make him a liar, because the Holy Spirit says differently. The Holy Spirit is out today to convict you of all your sins, both the B type and the C type. He wants to convict you of all your sins. I know you're born again, but that doesn't mean anything. Just because you're born again doesn't mean you're walking. You can be a talking Christian, but not a walking Christian. So there's a difference between A and B. There's a difference between A, B, and C. If we say, verse 10, that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, the next chapter, I'm not going to read, the next chapter goes through C1, 2, and 3. Young men, that would be a C3, keeping a C2 and a C1. The next one, I'm sorry, young children. Young children is somebody who has, they're an A, but they haven't yet killed B. So a young child is someone who is an A Christian, born again, but they haven't killed B. They still have sin in their life, and they haven't gotten at it yet, so they're not dead to the world yet. They're not dead to themselves. They're not alive to God. So that person is not going to produce a lot of spirit-wrought things. He might go to church and might tithe and so on, but he's got a lot of hypocrisy still in him. He's got a lot of sin in him and so on. So it's going to take some while. How many know it takes a while after you're a Christian to get all the sin out of your life? Weeks sometimes. Sometimes it takes weeks. I've seen some Christians that within 3 weeks, they're still not done. I mean, it's happened. Within, and some it's a month. It takes a month sometimes to get rid of all the sin in their lives. So the Bible says, look, if you're born again, you don't need to be just a young man, that's how you start out, who's concerned about all the sin in his life still. Well, there's mercy for that. There's Holy Spirit conviction, and then there's mercy. Or, I keep saying young man, I mean a young child, did I say it right? Little children. Then a young man, that's somebody who's an overcomer, who actually is gaining quite a bit against the devil. Eating up the C1s and the C2s. Now your C3 is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they get proud, which is a little bit of an ad again. Back comes C2 and C1s. And so every gain you make as a young man kind of gets eaten up. And so you really haven't progressed too far over the little child. Still pretty much a little child, even though you're a young man and you've defeated the devil and the rights of Christ. Oh, get out of here, devil. You slew foot in the name of Jesus, and so on. You can do all that kind of stuff, but there's a lot of pride in you still. A lot of ego in these, powerful Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I got the Holy Spirit. And they're just puffing and going and so on. A lot of it's just flesh. It's not the Holy Spirit at all. It's just them, their own spirit. And they're keeping themselves alive. One of the things I notice about people that are big into miracles is they're not big into love. They're not big into, walking in love. They got a lot of sin in their lives and they just hide it. And it doesn't show up, the adultery or the pedophilia or the whatever they're doing in the back rooms comes up later. And you don't catch it for years. They're great teachers. They're great They got big churches and lots of people following them because they're in the flesh and the world goes in because they feel comfortable in such a church. And they can recognize right away, well, that minister is my kind of guy. And the reason that he is because he's full of the world. And he's not going to go after their sins. It's almost like you walk in the door and you know that minister in that church is never going to get at my sin. He's been divorced. He's been, an adulterer. He's been, whatever. And so, how's he going to go after it? Because of his checkered background. So they're not going to be convicted in such a church because no one is ever going to get after their sin. Go to a big church like that, they don't have time to get you. They don't even know who's there. So you go to a little church, we recognize everybody. Because we can tell, there's only so many people and pretty much know who they are. So you can tell, well, where's Alice? And I wonder if she got rid of her gluttony this week. You can tell right away because you know everybody. Everybody knows everybody because it's a small church. But you can't do that in a 1,000-member church or a 6,000-member church or a 10,000-member church. That isn't even a church. There's no way that can be a church. Why? Because they don't have any way to break them down into discipleship. And even if they did, it'd be superficial. And even the leaders would be superficial leaders, and so on. Because the leaders don't have sin out of their lives. They end up always, sleeping with one another and doing all kinds of crazy things. These churches have scandals galore. I don't care how big the church is, it's just going to have scandals in the wings waiting to happen. And the minister himself is going to be doing it, and his staff is going to be doing it. I remember Bill Gothard years ago, his entire staff was caught doing all kinds of things, and he had to fire the whole bunch. And he's Bill Gothard, the great teacher about, living holy and righteously and so on, trying to teach all about, be dying, when in fact he was keeping be quite well alive. And he realized it, and he repented himself, fired everybody, went off for a year and didn't teach, and had to repent of his own sins. That doesn't mean when he came out he was done with them, but I'm just simply saying he at least recognized there's something wrong with my ministry. At first it was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and everybody was getting into it, and all the Baptists particularly were, oh, I've been to Bill Gothard. Here's my seminar thing here up on the shelf. See it on the bookshelf here. We're studying all about character development. Yeah, well, that doesn't produce it. None of his staff had it. His staff were full of homosexuals. They were full of perverts. They were full of all kinds of adultery and a lot of other gross, egotistical, it was just awful. And when it all came out, but people knew about it long before it came out. I knew about it before Bill Gothard knew about it. Clay knows that I knew. We knew about a lot of stuff going on inside his group. I knew somebody that Clay introduced me to. So, Clay, you better pick better people from now on. So, these big ministries, it's just awful. You get superficially near them, and they look full of, fire and everything. But in the end, they're not. In the end, they don't produce. They don't have enough C3. So they may preach and talk as though they're full of fire and vinegar and so on, but in the end, it just there's nothing there. So what you want is the truth, and it's not going to come off in this glamorous way. You can't improve on Jesus or Paul. The way that the authentic mark of a Christian is scars, hell, fire, difficulty, problems, troubles. Not, you too can be rich, and you too can, just trust in God and everything will go away. Follow these 1, 2, 3 instructions and so on. That kind of teaching, which is very attractive to shallow people, gullible people, newborn Christians, they can be led astray and develop a big B. Be so alive that then there is no C3 hardly at all. And so it catches up with you after a while. And I'll tell you what, it's just going to hide a lot of C1. A lot of C2 will hide a lot of C1. But it'll come out. Anyway, so that's the mature father is the one that's actually dead. Mature father means someone who's dead, just like the master. That's what discipleship's all about. All right. Now, chapter 3, only one verse I'm interested in chapter 3, and that is the 9th verse. Well, let's start with the 8th verse. Let's start with the 8th verse. Chapter 3, verse 8. And I'm going to close with these two verses. He that commits sin. Now, when it says commit sin in 8, the one who is doing sin is a noun. But the one doing is from the verb poieo. Poieo is in the present active indicative. The one is continually doing sin. You say you're a Christian A, but you're continually doing sin, C1 or C2? Huh, there's something wrong. You shouldn't be continually. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Somebody who's committing, like if you tell a lie, that's of the devil. But if you're telling a lie all the time, that is of the devil. That's really of the devil. There's something wrong with that. How can you be committing, I can think of so many people in real life that have mistresses, and you go and you tell them, you have a mistress, get rid of her tonight. Tonight? I can't. I'm obligated to her. You're not obligated to her. You're obligated to get back with your wife, throw her out, and get back on the right track. Well, I can't. No. Do it right now. No. And they won't do it because they want to keep that mistress. Well, let me see. You know, okay, you've caught me, but let me check that thing out. Let me see. Now, don't say anything to my wife right now. You know, they're just trying to keep the sin. Keep the cigarettes. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I won't quit completely, but what I'll do is I'll stop one cigarette a day until, you know. No, sin is sin. If the Holy Spirit isn't able to convict you of sin, he's not a Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to, like, get down to just a few. Well, I'm down to just a pack a day. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. I'm only committing adultery once a week now. It's committing adultery. Yeah, but I used to do it twice a week. That's great. 100% improvement. It means nothing to God. Sin is sin. Sin. See, the church today cannot comprehend that. Yeah, but the brother's really growing. He's really maturing. He drinks less. He smokes less. He chews less. He goes with those that do less. It means nothing. Either the Holy Spirit convicts you or not. You can't. We're not talking about suppressing your sin. We're not talking about getting along with the flesh. We're talking about killing it. Killing it. How can you do that? Fall in love with Jesus. It isn't getting rid of sin that counts. It's you don't know Jesus. If you're born again, A, then there's nothing keeping you from walking in the Spirit, C3.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. If you're born again, I'm born again. Okay. I'm here. I'm still here. Hello out there in tape land. We're still here. My ears fell off. All right. Now, if you're... The devil did that. I know he did that. Because I was just on to a very good point. Okay. If you're sinning and you're just constantly in sin, there's something wrong. That's of the devil. But we Christians in B-land, we'll make up all kinds of stories about, well, you know, his background and, you know, the way he was raised. He had dysfunctional parents. You know, he's on his third marriage. It doesn't mean nothing. Either the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit or he's the unholy spirit. Which one is he? If he's a Holy Spirit, he's a powerful spirit. He's not just holy, he's also merciful, he's also powerful. You know, there's nothing that says, well, you got to make an excuse for me here. There's no excuses. You can go straight from A to C3. All you got to do is die. And all you got to do is come here. I would love to kill you. I'm trying to kill people, but most people I keep running before I get them choked. You're pulling away. You know, I'm trying to choke the person. You're pulling away right now. Yeah, but you're choking me. Exactly. That was the whole reason why you came here, was to die. Yeah, but I don't like it. It's killing me. But that's your flesh speaking. Okay, that's my spirit. You know, no, it's not your spirit. Your spirit wants to get killed. Your spirit is crying out like this. Hallelujah, let's kill off the flesh. And your flesh is crying, no, please, don't listen to him. Do you all hear that little voice inside of yourself? There's a flesh voice inside of yourself that says, let's keep alive. That's B talking. See, that's B talking. But you're born again. So even though B is talking, B needs to die. You need to stop listening to B. We're not talking about physical death here. We're talking about not letting your soul run your life. A runs your life. B is not God. B doesn't get to run it. B has to come under A. That's death. When B comes under A, that's what B calls death. And that's what A calls death. The only death is this, just do whatever I say. Then there is no B. If A calls all the shots, B doesn't exist. If the Holy Spirit's calling all the shots in your life, then there is no B. That's all there's to it. All God wants is to be the first God. He doesn't care about the second, third, and fourth, and fifth God. You can have all those other gods you want. Just don't have them before him. Which is the same thing as saying, if only one is ruling, then all the others can rule all they want to. If I'm the ruler, and I tell Peggy what to do, and she tells the kids what to do, I'm the ruler. And there is no Peggy, and there is no kids. There's nothing between me and the one being ruled. You understand? There's only one ruler. Jesus Christ is not the ruler. His Father is. Whatever the Father says, the Son does. Whatever the Son does, the husband does. Whatever the husband does, the wife does. Whatever the wife does and the husband together, the children do. Well, if there's a break in that little chain right there, I think I know where it starts. It's not between the Father and the Son. It's between the Son and then the men. That's where the chain breaks down. The men are keeping this thing alive. They don't want their souls to die. Men are very protective of their selves, of their persons. They don't want to be vulnerable. They don't want to be submitted to Jesus. They'd rather be submitted to their wives than to Jesus. Of course, only externally. You know, Ahab was externally submitted to Jezebel. But Jezebel knew he doesn't really want to do what I say. He just does what I say, but not really mean it. And so it's awful to have a husband who'll do everything you say and you know he's not really meaning it. That's what's awful. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't want someone just to yes you. Yes, okay, anything you say. Okay, dear, anything you say. That stinks. You want that to be a real person who wants to love you voluntarily, is happy to take care of you and serve you. All right, at any rate, we have a lot of phony Christianity, false Christianity, and because we're just about out of business, I just thought I'd point this out. This is the way it was supposed to have been. We didn't ever do it, but it doesn't matter. I want to do it anyway. I think it's the right thing to do, even if it's the last minute, and even if nothing comes of it, I still want to do it. If the whole world wants to go against Jesus, I don't want to. If everybody else wants to be born again but live like a bee, I don't want to. I don't believe that kind of Christianity is true Christianity. But I'll tell you what, you can't get there from a B wanting to do it. You have to get there because the A kills B. And then you'll have the C3. That's the only way. And I can tell that's the one thing churches are not allowing to happen is get the sin out of the people's lives. They don't care that Jesus forgives sins. They'll preach that all day long. But they don't want to preach that you willingly die so that you have no will of your own. You'll just do exactly what Jesus says. How many people today, husbands loving their wives, Christ, you know, loving the church, wives submitting to their husbands and so on, we just don't have it. Because people are just doing whatever they want to do. And the pastors have no authority. They just preach messages that are full of suggestions and, you know, cute little sermons about Greek words and Hebrew words and so on and so forth. It's nothing. It means nothing. It has no impact at all. Because nobody's obeying. Nobody's broken. Nobody's under the lordship of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So we just give these messages that are just kind of, you know, cute messages about, you know, how it might have been, could have been, should have been. But in fact, for me, this is a real thing. I enjoy my messages, and I'm living them. I'm doing them. I am joyful all the time. I'm going to confess my sins every day, and I got them every day, and I look for them every day, and I want to see them every day. I want to see all my sins every day. Okay, God, do your thing. Show me all my sins. Thank you. Okay, that's enough. Okay, I've seen one. Okay. Now the mercy, apply the mercy. Bop, 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 bop. See, I'm pressing the mercy button. Need mercy, thank you. Then I'm get the mercy. Now the power, you know. And God then wants to kill you and expose you and then forgive you and cover you and then fill you and guide you and lead you and empower you and overcome and make war on the devil and beat his whole camp. That's what he wants to happen every day. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then will come forth worship. Then will come forth love. Then will come forth power. Then will come forth the glory of God. The church today is dead as a doornail because B is still alive. If religion were dead, we would have the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want religion. He wants true religion. True religion means born of the Spirit. All right, almost done here. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he came out of heaven onto earth, that he might destroy the works of the devil. C1 and C2. Whosoever is born of God, All you got to do is be born of God, born of anothen. Born of God, doth not commit sin. What is that? What does that say in the Greek? Okay, it doesn't say doth not commit sin. What it says is, doth not continue to commit sin. It's in the present, active, indicative. It's a verb, present, active, indicative. The do, poieo, is present, active, indicative. If you're a Christian, you can't continue in sin. I can sin. I do sin. I keep it up on a daily basis. I sin on a daily basis. There's no way I can say, well, yesterday I didn't sin at all until about 3 o'clock. No, that's not my life. I am sinning on an hourly basis. I would say minutely. I would say nanosecondly basis. So therefore, God can talk to me quite a bit. Jim, could my holiness talk to you a minute? Yes, your holiness. Yes, your holiness. So I want to see his holiness. So Moses, you know, gets out his Ten Commandments, beats me over the head and said, you know, you've sinned again. You've exaggerated again. You didn't eat enough. You ate too much. You ate the wrong thing. You didn't eat the right thing. You know, he can constantly get me because I got a million gazillion of them. But I'm open to it. I deliberately go and say, God, get rid of all my sin. Show me everything. Expose me. Rip me. Tear me apart. I'm here. Here am I. There's no resistance in me at all. I'm wanting to get rid of all the C1 and C2. But I'm not going to get rid of all the C1, and I'm not even afraid of it. But let's get rid of the C2 for sure. Because I can repent of the C1, and I can get that into a C3. I can go directly from a C1 into a C3. I cannot ever go from a C2 to a C3. C1 can only go to a C3. But C2 can only go back to a C1. Now, I know you didn't understand that, but you've got to, because we're treating sin wrong in the churches today. We're going after people that are obvious sinners and leaving those that are hypocritical, legalistic sinners alone. Those are the ones that are the real problem. They have to repent twice. They have to admit that they're not a C2, that they've always been a C1, so that then they can repent again and be a C3. That is an A who kills B who becomes a C3. Can't have C3 until B is dead. So God's second move after birthing you is to disciple you, not to use you as a minister. Your walk is not going to be pure. You need to be discipled. You need to be trained. You need to be taught the truth. And that's why I'm doing this teaching at night. I'm not doing this in the morning. I'm doing it at night. In the morning, we get people saved and encourage them and so on, keep them going, give them a bunch of parables. But at night, we speak straight. Get the sin out of your life. The only sin that he's concerned about is not adultery and murder and all that. He's not concerned about those sins. Those sins will go immediately. Unless you have a B, then they won't. You'll hide them. You'll sublimate them. You'll push them in another pattern or something. Yes, you may not do that sin, but you do another sin 10 times worse because you bury it. You hide it. How many know that self-righteousness is worse than murder? Well, I didn't kill anybody. Yeah, everything you do is kill. But because you're self-righteous, you don't see how many people you're destroying. People that commit murder know it. People that are prostitutes know it. But most of us are subtle sinners. We're not the obvious open type. Anyone, whosoever, verse 9, is born of God, does not commit sin. What does it say? It doesn't say that. It says, does not continually commit sin. Present, active, indicative. Indicative is the most real of all the moods. So an indicative mood means that you are continually not able to stay in a sin. You can't continue in it. If you're born of God, you can't continue in a sin. You can commit a sin. An act of sin. You can tell a lie. You can, you know, lust in your heart and all that. You just can't stay there. The minute I do it, I got to talk to God. God. Because the Holy Spirit's talking to me. Jim, what? You just committed a sin. I did. See? And it shouldn't be like a shock on my part. It should be like, yeah, normal. And then I should say, then expose me. Don't just tell me that I've done one. Get to the root of it. What's behind it? Let's just strip me open. Let's just get all, show me where I don't love you. Show me where I've forgotten you. Show me where I've been cold toward you. It isn't the murder. That's just a symptom. It isn't the adultery. That's just a symptom. It's just the alcohol. That's a symptom. It isn't the talkativeness. That's a symptom. Those are symptoms. Get at the root. Well, what's the root? Well, I don't know God. That's what the root is. The root is I don't believe Jesus. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, A. No, no, no. You're a Christian, A, but you're not a Christian, B. A Christian, B, would be a dead person. And you don't know the love of God. If you knew the love of God, you'd be dead to this world. You'd be so in love with the Father, because love of the Father is hatred of the world. And love of the world is hatred of the Father. So if you love the world still in B and in C, then you actually don't love the Father. Well, yeah, I do in A, but yeah, but you don't in B. And there's a real problem then. So God wants to show you your sin every day. Oh, please, get a hold of this. I mean, if you can get this, it's so powerful. You don't say, I don't sin. You do. You make God a liar when you say that. You deceive yourself. Let the Holy Spirit convict you every day, all the time. You're a sinner. You're committing the worst sins. Oh, yeah, but I didn't do that. You're just talking too much. You just did it. Get convicted. Get cut. Get hurt. Get so you cry. Get so you just cut to the deep on that. But most of us go, well, God, you know, I didn't mean that. And you lied. That's just a lie. What do you mean you didn't mean it? Why'd you do it? Well, I didn't mean to do it. You did too. You meant to do it. That's why you did it. How do you think it came out? It just kind of surprised me. Because the devil just kind of snuck right in there. It was you. Well, I don't know how that happened. Well, because you're a phony and a fake and a liar and a thief and a robber and a killer. See, I don't know why we're not comfortable with that. Why? What's so hard about saying, I am a murderer? I am an angry person. I am lustful. I am bitter. I am jealous. I am full of exaggeration. I'm lazy. I'm a glutton. What's so hard about saying that? See, that's the way the Holy Spirit talks. He never says, hey, you know, you're not doing too well. He never talks like that. He always says, you're a liar. He's like, whoa, that's kind of blunt. Well, that's exactly the way the Holy Spirit does it. He doesn't cut like, you know, with a meat axe. He just takes something, shoot, like that, and you're dead. That's how he does it. When he shows you a sin, it's over. And immediately you confess it, and immediately it's gone. And immediately you're filled with the Spirit. And immediately. I mean, it's so quick. It's so fast. I don't know how surgery works, but it's not somebody hacking away at you. I've got to get this thing out. That's the way we do it. That's the way we pick on each other. But the Holy Spirit never picks on you. He doesn't say, well, you know, you haven't pleased me quite lately. He'd never talk like that. He'd say, you're a liar. If you don't shape up, you go to hell, you know, or something. I mean, he gets right to it. You hear what I'm saying? You can't continue in this sin. You can't say, oh, I'm down to three. No, 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 no. You sinned. You sinned against God because you hate him. Well, I don't hate him. Bathsheba was pretty. No, 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 no. Bathsheba's not pretty. The thing that made you see Bathsheba that day is because you weren't walking with God. King David, remember it said, in the spring of the year when kings go to war, David was out goofing around on his patio. That's the problem. It wasn't Bathsheba. It wasn't the patio. It was that when kings go to war, he was a king and he didn't want to. So he basically said, you know, I don't want to right now. That little sin between him and God produced the sin between him, and he had to kill his best friend, steal his wife, and have a baby born dead. All of that because he just didn't want to be with God. A little thing turned out to be a huge thing. Do you all understand? So sin, you got to get those little sins where you just didn't want to be with God. God wanted you to go to war, and he said to himself, thought to himself, be very much alive, hey, you know what? I always win my battles. I'm King David. And why should I go every year, you know, spring of the year, it's muddy out there, thawing out right now, get out the old wagons and, you know, the old, shine up the old wheels on the chariot and go out there. I'm getting kind of old. I've been king for years. Why should I? I'm a pastor. I've been doing this for years. Why shouldn't I take a little time off? And so David decided he'd take a little time off. What's wrong with it? God, you understand. No, God didn't understand. In the spring of the year, kings go to war. Get going and get to war. Well, I wanted to have a little easy life for once. No, no easy life. You don't get any time off. Huh, huh, huh. King. Kings have perks. Yeah, well, this is not one of them. So get out there. And because of that little bitty thing that somebody said, you know, I deserve a day to myself. I deserve a little time off. No, you don't. You will ask God everything. B is not dead. You all excited about that? You see what I'm saying? There's some lies that are coming in through the devil, and thank God you have a pastor like me who spots those things. And why is it that I'm so good at that? Oh, I'll tell you why. I do them all. You know, I've done every sin in the book. I'm just gifted at sinning. There's nobody who has out-sinned me yet. I have never met anyone more sinful, more wicked, more deceitful, more clever than I am. I just have never met that person, except some of you. So I'm glad you're here. No, but you see, that deepness of sin, only the Holy Spirit can catch you. And you got to spend a lot of time with Jesus. The secret is not that I like to see sin. The secret is I like to spend time with Jesus, and that's what he shows me. When you're with Jesus, he's not going to show you how great you are. He's going to show you how great he is, and you're going to see your own lowliness. You're going to see your own humility. For his seed, you're born of God, you're his seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. You see, you cannot continue in sin because you're born of God. When you're born of God, let's say you tried to sin now for now until kingdom come. You couldn't do it. I can't do it. I'm born of God. And the Holy Spirit's going to keep talking to me. What? It's like Peter knocking on the door. What? That's me, Jesus. I wanted to talk to you about your sin. Okay, well, come back tomorrow. I'm sinning. I didn't want to get at my sin right now. Well, who is it? Didn't I tell you to go away? Jesus, what? What? You're making me mad. Now I am sinning now. Because you're going to stop me from sinning. All right. Come on in, but don't look in the closet. And if you've ever been with God, you start giving away all your stuff. Now, don't look over here. Why? What's over there? Nothing. Go over there first. And I don't know why Jesus is so clever. He can pick out all my sins. I guess it's because sinners are really devious and they know where they hide everything, so God can figure it out. God made us so he can figure it out. You ever see that little kids can't figure out how parents can find everything out? You know, they're always surprised. Especially when you don't hear anything in the next room, and you can't hear, and you just know there's something wrong. So you open the door, and their eyes get like big as sausage. She did it. You know, and right away, they start confessing, because parents are so clever. And they just don't know, how did you know? We weren't making any noise. It's like they just gave themselves away. Because when a parent hears no noise, they know something's wrong. They're doing something that they shouldn't be doing. Because normally they're noisy. So parents are not that clever. It's just that they were once kiddies. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to continue in sin. You can sin, C1, all you want. Go ahead and sin. But I'll tell you something. If you're born of God, A, you can't. You cannot. That is, you can do it. You just can't continue in it. There's no way. You're not born again. If you continue in it, you're born of the devil. If you continue in it, you're born of the devil. Somebody says, well, I don't know, Pastor. I think if I went ahead and started sinning, I might never quit. I don't believe that. If you're born again, A, truly born again, A, your problem is not that you would continue in sin all the time. Your problem is that you still got a B in you. And the reason you got a B in you is what makes you keep sinning. It's the B that makes you sin. Get rid of the B, you won't have a need to sin. You may not understand what I just said. But what I just said is profound. It's in other words, it's from God. I'm telling you right now, the reason why so many people who are Christians sin is because they got too much B in them. And they take the sin as a relief because they don't know how to get it out of A. So they run over to C and do some sinning to relieve themselves from the B because there's so much pressure on a B. A B is full of self-hatred and pressure. You live around a B, you're going to feel judged all the time. Because B's judge themselves and then they judge everybody else. They're hard on themselves. But an A is dead. An A is someone who dies to sin, kills off the B, and the Holy Spirit then just has a ball convicting of sin, forgiving the sin, and then filling you with his Holy Spirit and power. I'm telling you, this is what a wonderful life it is. And after a while, you get used to doing C3. You don't want to do C1 and 2. And pretty soon you won't have any C2, and all you'll have left is C1. And when you do that, that's easy because the Holy Spirit will reveal that every day. You just go, I didn't say it yesterday, but thank you for showing it to me, God. I mean, really, thank you. That is a sin of mine. Forgive me. Boom, and immediately be forgiven. Then immediately he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. I mean, immediately. As soon as you acknowledge your sin, there'll be mercy and forgiveness. And as soon, he just said it this way. He is faithful and just to forgive you. and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So a minute that you say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry about that. That is wrong. Let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, not be. Don't let be convict you. B will just be tough on you. Well, you know your problem is you talk too much, Alice. You know, it's not your problem. That's a symptom. Alice will always lie. There's no way that B's ever going to tell you the truth. B is just you at your best, and you at your best stinks. It's a liar. It's a devil. So you shouldn't be ruling at all. Don't help God out. Don't show me my sin. I already know what it is. No, you don't. You never know what it is. You're wrong every single time. I guarantee you have never been right. I know I'm an alcoholic. I know I'm a this. No, you don't. You don't know anything. Alcohol is not your problem. You're not lustful. That's not your problem. You don't know your problem. Let the Holy Spirit tell you. Spend more time with God. Get into His presence. Start worshiping God. And you know what? Then you'll see your sin. Because you'll realize right away you're cold. It has nothing to do with adultery. It has to do with that you're cold. Just like King David. The reason that he fell into all those sins was because he didn't want to spend time with God. It isn't that he loved Bathsheba and loved sin and, you know, was lustful. That wasn't his problem. That was a symptom of his deeper problem, that he hated God. And God showed him that. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. Why is it that we don't know him? Why is it that we don't know him? We're born of him. If you're born of him, you have now the opportunity to know him. I'll tell you why. B doesn't want to die. The more you get to know him, it's going to kill B. The next thing that after he saves you is to kill off not the devil in the world, it's to kill off all the devil in the world in your flesh till your flesh is dead. And that's going to take some time, and that's why we postpone it. Could I just go on my ministry right now instead of getting the sin out of my life? What, are you going to take all your sin on the mission field? Don't go into your ministry right away. Well, you know, I've served the devil for so long, now I'd like to serve God. Well, don't. Just get all the sin out of your life. No, I did when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I confessed all my sin right then and there. No, you didn't. You just confessed the A. You didn't yet confess B until it's dead. So I remember when Cullen Davis first became a Christian, and I remember right away he was over at a certain church, I won't name it, and they made him a leader. Right away, just because he was a leader in the world, they made him a leader. And I went and I rebuked the pastor. He's a very famous pastor. I rebuked him and I said, you shouldn't make him a leader. He's not even mature. He's not grown up. Oh, he's a very smart man. He's teaching on something or other, whatever it was, secular humanism. And I said, you know, I don't care how much he knows and studies and so on. He needs to be learning. He needs to be like a little kid sitting there in the chair. Don't do that. I remember. And that helped Cullen. And later, one of our church members heard the Holy Spirit say, call up him right now and tell him he needs the power of the Holy Spirit right now. And he called him up, came over to his house, received the Holy Spirit, and that changed his life. He no longer just was born again. Now he was filled with the Spirit. And that has altered. Whether he did all that other stuff, I have no idea. I don't even care. I don't know anything about his past life. All I know is that at that moment, you're a new Christian. I don't care whether you are or not. Get grown up. And if you keep your sins, that means you're a liar. But if you let them go, that means the Holy Spirit's at work in you. It isn't how many sins you do, it's how many sins you're hiding. You can't continue in sin if you're a Christian. I can't. I'm trying to, but I can't. I try to keep certain favorite sins. Does everybody have a favorite sin? Might be self-pity. Everybody have that one? How about fear? Does anybody still have fear in your life? How about, bitterness? Does anybody have bitterness? How about judgmentalism? How about envy? Anybody have envy? You know, someone else, I wish I was like that. I wish I had their kind of car. I wish I had their house. I wish I had their maid. I wish I had their wife, husband, whatever. No, stop it. All of those sins are symptoms of something deeper. You don't know the Lord. It isn't that you're sinful, it's that you don't know the Lord. All right, closing prayer. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that though we commit acts of sin, we are not to continue in the sin. Help us to kill ourselves. That is, you do it. Show us, build us up in the Spirit so that we will put to death the deeds of the flesh. In Jesus' holy name, and everyone said,